Siki was still listening intently. His best guess was that they would now search for the box, which Siki was still holding in his hand. He gave the box a little shake to try and figure out its content, but there was nothing loose inside. After a few seconds, Taka's voice could be heard, full of frustration. "It's not on him!"
"Did he drop it somewhere?"
asked Hebe.
"Or did he manage to post it?"
"There aren't any postage houses in Kakura, so he couldn't have," Nichi said. There was some more ruckus as the three searched the area. Siki could now hear the cart coming nearer. He poked his head out and saw a middle-aged man with a straw hat riding in a single-horse open cart. A dim lantern was swinging back and forth on its hook on the left side of the cart. Farmer Taro slowed when he passed in front of Manji's house.
"I'm going to Shinchioka. You need anything?" he cried.
Manji shouted, "Yes! Take this young man with you!" Farmer Taro beckoned merrily.
"Hop on, young man!"
Siki scrambled onto the cart and discovered that it was full of hay that served as a cushion for some large earthen jars. The Shadow Manor people must have heard a little of the scripted conversation between Manji and Farmer Taro. From behind the house, Hebe could be heard yelling,
"Who's there?"
Taka's voice was full of impatience.
"I've told you, it's just old Manji."
"No, that's Farmer Taro," said Nichi in a tone of authority. "Go check who it is and if they saw anything." Farmer Taro had already urged the horse on, and the cart started to move forward. Turning towards Seiki, the farmer announced,
"All right, we're off."
He was a plump man with a friendly demeanor.
"Going to the capital for the first time, young man?"
Seiki could see Taka and Hebe emerge from the shadows beside the house. There was no way they would not identify him. Thankfully, by a stroke of luck, Manji spotted the two ninjas and ran toward them, exclaiming happily,
"Ah, Hebe, Taka, I have not seen you in a while."
Hebe let out an exasperated grunt and pushed the old man aside. The cart had now picked up speed and was moving further and further away.
"Who is that?" Taka turned to ask his companion.
Hebe peered hard, but then shrugged. Siki was relieved that it was too dark for her to see him.
"Should we go after it?" Hebe asked.
"Maybe sense it?" suggested Taka.
Siki saw the ninja girl standing still as if concentrating on something. A strange sensation swept over him, as if someone had dragged a wet cloth across his body. Siki shuddered but kept still as he realized that this was probably the same ability that she had used to discover Cage earlier.
"I don't know. It's just a level 5,
Hebe could be heard saying, her voice full of uncertainty.
"With very low lifetime experience as well."
Taka's reply could hardly be heard anymore over the distance.
"It's probably nobody."
In the dim light, Siki could see the two walk back behind the house. Manji was, after all, a patient and kind old man. Siki had to laugh as he heard Manji shout after the ninjas that they should come back to visit him in Sumiko sometime. Siki just then became aware that his heart had been beating faster than usual, and he shook his head in amusement at himself. For a moment, he had forgotten that it was a game, and he even wondered what could be so bad about offending the Shadow Manor, or whatever it was called. The ride was bumpy, and the hay was itchy against his skin, but the night wind was pleasantly cool. The road cut across farmlands and fields into the pine woods he had visited before, and further over more farmlands. Since the sun had set, the roadside was completely dark most of the time, but Seiki thought he could sometimes catch strange movement in the grass. Once, he even thought he saw something that looked like a bluish flame floating above the grass in the distance. Farmer Taro was talking about the capital city Shinchioka with a sense of pride, boasting about its prosperous shops and stalls and masters of all kinds of skills and trades.
"It is a dangerous world," said Farmer Taro, after having finished telling him about how sleeping in inns, or at least indoors, helped keep his energy generation at a normal rate. "It's best to be equipped with skills to defend yourself. There are different kinds of skills. Some choose the way of the sword. Some choose ancient magic. Some choose to help their allies in other ways."
Siki realized the man was talking about the classes in a roundabout manner so as not to break the illusion of reality. He remembered reading something about the classes in the manual, but he had not given it much thought.
"What do you think would suit me?" Siki asked, half to himself.
He was not expecting real advice, but was just curious how Farmer Taro would answer.
"There are training dojos throughout the capital. You can go and train there to get a feel of what branches of skills you are interested in."
Amused by the man's perfectly safe answer, he kept asking,
No, what do you think, Farmer Taro?
I think you should try going to the dojos to train in different kinds of skills and decide.
Seki laughed. All right, fine. What would you choose for yourself? Farmer Taro sighed.
All these skills are equally useful and would make my life so much easier against the monsters roaming our lands. I'd really recommend you to try out the dojos.
Nice avoidance, Seki thought. He was starting to wonder how far this could go and decided to experiment. Okay, what's the point of this game? Farmer Taro looked at him.
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
This world. Seki hesitated on the word. This reality. A female voice giggled.
Talking to NPCs for fun?
Seki looked up and saw that there were two people riding alongside the carriage. Marin, level 6, and Kentaro, level 7, both on identical brown horses. Marin was a petite girl in a white dress with a pearl-laden hairpin in her hair. Kentaro, a tall young man with short hair, had a long staff strapped on his back.
Going to Shinchioka?
Asked Marin. Seki nodded. It's a pretty long ride, and Farmer Taro keeps telling you about the dojos, commented Kentaro.
Because some people don't realize they need to go find them, said Marin. Like someone I know.
She giggled.
Hey, it's not that obvious, said Kentaro. Especially my one, which isn't even called a dojo.
Marin did not answer him, but turned to Seki.
So, Seki,
she said, taking note of his name in a rather business-like manner. Apparently she had deemed that the initial chit-chat had been established.
We were wondering if you could help us.
Kentaro chimed in. It's a level 6 elite group quest that we're having problems with.
We'll take about 10 minutes,
Marin said quickly. Seki thought about it. I'm not level 6 yet, he reminded them.
Well, that's no problem, said Kentaro. I think you're almost there. On the way, there's plenty of stuff for you to kill, and by the time we get there, you should have leveled up.
Seki thought for a few more seconds and saw no harm in agreeing. Since they promised it was going to be 10 minutes, he decided that it would not hurt if the box delivery would be slightly delayed. After all, Cage did not ask him to deliver it as fast as possible.
Yeah, okay, he said.
Myrin seemed overly happy.
You'll need to get off that cart. The quest is over there,
she said, pointing into the darkness somewhere to the left. Seki leapt off the cart, and after he confirmed twice with Farmer Taro that he really wanted to get off there before they reached the capital, the man finally drove away, his earthen jars jangling softly in the hay at the back of his cart. Without the lamplight, the darkness took a bit more time to adjust to. Seeing that Seki did not have a mount, the two people got off their horses and sent them away, making comments about how slow these cheap horses were anyway.
I'm a Hoshi, said Kentaro by way of giving a proper introduction. She's a kitsune.
Right, said Seki, wondering if he should know what that meant or implied. They were already off the path and walking through the open field. It was all quiet except for the rustling of the knee-length grass they were wading through. The moon was bright above their heads, and in the horizon, the black mountain range could still be made out against the gray sky.
You can visit specific dojos to choose your class, explained Kentaro. Or in my case, it was a temple. A Hoshi is a priest, so I heal. And the kitsune...
He stopped on purpose to look at his companion.
A kitsune is a fox spirit thing that doesn't do much.
Hey,
Marin protested. Kentaro paid her no attention and went on.
And the problem is, once you've chosen your class, your abilities are modified. My focus strike became a hinder, which is great
when someone else is taking the beating instead,
interrupted Marin.
It sounds bad when you put it that way, said Kentaro as he gave Maiden a glare. Anyway, you're joining our group, right?
Yeah, sure. You are now in a group with Kentaro, level 7, and Maiden, level 6.
Okay, now concentrate on the word hinder, said Kentaro.
Seki did as he was told and knowledge flashed in his mind. Hinder, ability information. Reduces the target's speed by 30% and the damage from their next attack by 20%. Range, 15.
Yeah, it does no damage. See what I mean about hinder being useless? Sighed the Hoshi.
Well, it can be useful right now,
said Myrin.
Here comes something.
She pointed into the darkness. At first, Seki was not sure what she hinted at, but slowly he noticed something floating in the air, like a piece of cloth. Getting closer, he could detect what it was. Itan Momen, level 6. HP 112 of 112.
Seki could not help but feel a bit confused. The thing looked like a piece of cloth fluttering innocently in the wind.
That thing is pretty nasty, warned Myrin. It tries to strangle you, so watch out.
Kentaro held out his hand, and from it a faint bluish spark flew out at the piece of cloth. As soon as it connected, the Itan Momen turned and started rushing toward them. Seki could hear it flapping furiously in the air. Seki stepped forward. At level 5, his focused strike was much stronger and dealt around 40 damage, but it required much more energy as well. Not sure what to expect, he took his stance as the thing made its approach. His first focused strike hit the Itan Momen squarely in the middle of its length. It was a strange feeling as the cloth yielded. As soon as his blow connected, the Itan Momen twisted and wrapped itself around his hand. Its other end curved downward, aiming for his neck. Seki had never imagined fighting a piece of cloth before, and at that moment he realized there was something deeply disturbing about the idea. Raising his left hand, he caught the cloth before it could wrap around his neck. The fabric writhed in his hand. Its loose end suddenly coiled around his fingers. Startled, Seki pulled it down and kicked at it as hard as possible. In a flash, it unfurled itself, freeing both his hands, and it flew skyward, floating above his head like a kite in the wind. Itan Momen, level 6, HP 63 of 112. Seki only had time to catch his breath when the cloth turned in midair and shot down at him like an eagle. Seki swung his left hand and blocked its advance. Its tail end whisked around and slapped at his chest. Seki grabbed it in the middle of its body and kicked it again. Suddenly a numb sensation shot through his hand as he felt the cloth draining his life. With a surprised gasp, Seki let go, and he ducked out of the way as its tail end once again tried to find his neck. He thought he could hear Myrin yelling something, but his sole focus was on not getting killed by a piece of cloth right now. Itan Momen, level 6, HP 52 of 112. Seki leapt up and grabbed it in his left hand before it could fly up once more. His right hand shot forward with his second focused strike, and he heard a loud tear. His whole left arm had already gone numb from whatever magic it was using, forcing him to let go again. Itan Momen, level 6, HP 11 of 112. Now it was trying to flit away, with a long tear almost across its length. Seki leapt up and hit it in the middle with a right hook. The Itan Momen split in two and went completely lifeless. The two halves slowly, and perhaps even gracefully, fell to the ground. Itan Momen slain. 35 XP gained. Still somewhat uneasy by what just happened and not really knowing what to think, Seki turned to look at his two group members and suddenly saw they were fighting another one of these. Itan Momen, level 6, HP 47 of 112. Kentaro was shooting white sparks out of his hand at Myrin, who was dodging the Itan Momen's attacks and countering the monster with something that looked like a bout of faint, misty smoke. Seki raced toward them. His energy was not enough to allow another focused strike yet, so he ran in and did what he learned from the last one. He grabbed it from midair and traded a bit of life drain for a kick in the middle. The cloth twisted around and slapped his hand. Myrin recovered in time, and another bout of smoke burst from her palm and tore the writhing cloth in half. Itan Momen slain. 21 XP gained. Seki stood there and tried to gather his wits. What had just happened seemed surreal. Then he realized what it was that was bothering him. In his career as a fighter, he was used to the hard, solid impact that came with every blow, even to the stomach or the thighs. He had never experienced hitting a piece of cloth that folded away with his attacks and then curled backward toward his face in an attempt to smother him. He wondered if he would ever feel the same way about bedsheets again. His two companions made their way to him. A few more white sparks flashed from Kentaro, and Seki felt a sensation both warm and cold envelop his body. His health immediately filled up.
You look as if you've seen a ghost, Myrin giggled.
She was probably right. Seki was still staring at the two halves of white cloth on the grass, which seemed rather harmless now that they did not have a mind of their own. He let out a long exhale. That was sinister, he said. At that moment, he decided he did not like fighting sentient pieces of cloth. Oh, there are weirder things, like umbrellas and chairs, Kentaro said. Basically anything can turn out to be a monster and try to kill you out of the blue. Seki rubbed his temple. Give me a giant pig any day, he muttered under his breath.
Well, that's a bit unfortunate, said Myrin in a surprisingly good mood. Where we're going, there are loads more of these things.
Chapter 4. It was deep in the night, with the moon over halfway down in the west sky, and Siki was feeling rather troubled. After walking through the field and defeating a few more Eton Momen, Siki was now level 6, but even the joy of that accomplishment could not overshadow the uneasiness that he was experiencing about the whole thing. The title of the quest that the Hoshi and Kitsune wanted him to help with was Old Lady of the Loom, level 6, elite, group recommended. Not sure exactly what it entailed, he still had a strong feeling that it was going to be something straight out of a horror movie. His suspicion was confirmed when they finally arrived at the clearing where the quest was supposed to start. The grass here was low, making an almost circular field like a large golf green. In the middle stood a single abandoned wooden loom, which was casting ghastly shadows on the ground in the moonlight. "Creepy, isn't it?" said Kentaro, speaking Seiki's thought out loud. Cloth seemed to be the theme here, thought Seiki, as he noticed several Eton Momen floating high in the air in a circle around the loom. With more practice, Seiki was now more confident in dealing with them, as he could better predict their movements. The trick was never to let them wrap themselves around any of your body parts. The bewitched fabric yielded no loot except for cotton ball, times two, which Kentaro seemed to be collecting, so Siki let him have all of them.
"You can't really reach the Eton Momen flying above," explained Myron. "So when you approach the loom and the old lady appears, they will all attack at once. Kentaro and I have died here twice already."
"Not a pleasant death," said the Hoshi.
Siki made a mental note to later ask them about how in-game death worked, but he had a bad feeling that he would experience it firsthand very soon.
"So you've got a plan?" he asked.
Myrin nodded.
"Yeah, you get the old lady. She will appear when you get in range and throw needles at you. I'll run around and try to distract all the Etons, and Kentaro will stay back as far as possible and try to keep both of us alive."
Seiki hesitated.
"What's wrong?" asked Kentaro.
Seiki sighed.
I don't know about hitting an old lady."
Regardless of how silly it sounded, the code of honor had been so drilled into him that it had become part of who he was. A gentle expression swept across Myron's face. She then laughed softly and clapped him on the shoulder.
"Don't worry. She's more of a vengeful seamstress spirit who looks nothing like a real old lady."
"Oh, not at all," confirmed Kentaro. "You'll see for yourself."
Siki studied the scene in front of him again. There were 5 Eton Momen. He knew how to deal with 1 and perhaps even 2 at once, but against 5 he stood no chance. But then, with the help of Myron and Kentaro, it should not be totally impossible. The problem would most certainly be the old lady spirit. No one was saying anything. Seiki looked at his 2 group members and realized they were waiting for him to make the first move. Taking deep breaths, his senses on high alert, Seiki walked apprehensively toward the loom. He had never been afraid of ghosts, but then he had never encountered one before in such a realistic way, and he could not help but wonder whether his attacks would actually go straight through them. The loom drew nearer and nearer. He could make out the details now. The top frame was partially broken, and loose threads hung from it, swaying gently in the breeze like ghostly fingers. The foot pedal also gave a soft, wailing creak whenever the wind hit it. He was starting to wonder what Myron meant by in range. To his dark amusement, it turned out that in range was literally right beside the loom, close enough that he did not even have to reach to touch it. With something that sounded like a hiss, the loom suddenly started shaking violently, and Seiki jumped backward as a piercing shriek filled his ears. In front of him, something slowly appeared, accompanied by a fair bit of faint blue smoke. At first, it did look like an old lady, but as it materialized a bit more, Seiki could see that her bony face was wider than a person's could be and locked in a permanent expression of delirious joy, her lidless eyes wide and bulging as if about to pop out of her head, her wide mouth gaping, showing jagged teeth. Seiki took a step back in horror.
"Who dares touch my loom?"
she screeched as she turned slowly to Seiki. Despite telling himself it was not real, Seiki had trouble suppressing the chills that ran down his spine. Old Lady of the Loom, level 6 elite, HP 180 of 180. She cackled.
"You, boy! Do you know what happens to people who lay their hands on my belongings?"
Fast as lightning, her hand shot forward and something flew at him. Seiki dodged aside and the projectile ended up lodged diagonally on the ground. It turned out to be a spindle as large as his arm.
"They die!"
she screamed, throwing another spindle at him, then another. Seiki dodged again. With her relentless throws, he knew he had to keep moving. Suddenly, he heard flutters above him and realized the Eton Momin had joined in the battle. He blocked one with a quick jab from his left fist, fast enough to avoid being caught when the cloth looped around. Sounds of flapping clothes filled his ears, and he felt another Eton Momin closing in from behind. He threw himself to one side, avoiding its lengthy noose in time. A spindle from the old lady swished past. A third Eton Momin swooped in, and Seiki managed to hit it with a focused strike. At level 6, it was more powerful, and another one would finish it off. If only there weren't so many of them. Amid more frenzied flutters, Seiki could feel one starting to wrap itself around his leg. He was still running, and could hear spindles from the old lady hitting the ground around him. There was a burst of faint smoke, and all three Eton Momin lifted off him. Seiki looked and saw them going after what appeared to be a white fox. Now, Kentaro's earlier explanation made sense. A kitsune was a fox spirit. It was Mairin. Seiki knew he had to take advantage of this opportunity and get close to the old lady, but through her endless hail of spindles, there was no opening. Gritting his teeth, he rushed in regardless. A spindle struck his right leg and another grazed his shoulder. He was so close to her now that he could feel the chill her body was giving off. Taking his stance, he used his focused strike, which landed on her torso, sending a wave of cold up his arm. Old Lady of the Loom, level 6 elite, HP 125 of 180. She screeched,
"Die!"
and suddenly her two hands shot out. To Seiki's shock, they had turned into long strips of cloth. Ducking, he avoided one, but the other slapped him across his right side. His vision blurred as his health dropped to less than a third. Of course, elites dealt double damage, he quickly reminded himself. White sparks flew around him as the Hoshi's heel landed, adding back about a third of his health. Seiki caught his breath and kicked the cloth arm. Old Lady of the Loom, level 6 elite, HP 125 of 180. A terrible realization struck him. Her arms took no damage. He had to get close and hit her body. He ducked again to avoid another swing when he had another realization. Her arms were growing longer and longer. Her right arm swooped, and Seiki had to roll out of her range. He took a quick glance at Mairin, who still in fox form was running around in a large circle around the loom. She and Kentaro had managed to kill one of the Eton Momin already, leaving four still in pursuit. Eton Momin, level 6, HP 65 of 112. Eton Momin, level 6, HP 99 of 112. Eton Momin, level 6, HP 112 of 112. Eton Momin, level 6, HP 112 of 112. The spirit gave him no rest. Once he was too far away, she threw out a rain of spindles. Seiki started to realize there was no way to completely avoid them. Her arms were growing longer and longer, and a hit from them could be fatal.
"I'll hinder her!" Kentaro shouted to Seiki. "She'll be slower! Get close then! It only lasts for 4 seconds!"
Seiki watched as Kentaro's blue swirls hit the old lady. 4 seconds was a lot of time. Seiki easily dodged her slowed cloth arms and he closed in once again. His energy had just charged and was enough for another focused strike. Avoiding a spindle, he leapt up and performed the move. The connection sent another wave of chill down his arm. Old Lady of the Loom, level 6 elite, HP 70 of 180. Using the last bit of the slow advantage, Seiki also landed a kick before having to roll out of the way as her arms swung by. Kentaro let out a cry. One of the Eton Momin had abandoned the fox chase and was going after him. Within seconds, it was on top of him, trying to smother him. Kentaro swung his staff around wildly, but it only did a few points of damage. The white fox came shooting forward as she tried to get the monster off the Hoshi. In the fray, two Eton Momin caught up and began to wrap around the fox, dropping her life to less than a third. Seiki knew they would die if he did nothing. He turned and ran toward them. He grabbed 152 of 112 Eton Momin from around the fox. Myron's magical smoke met it, ripping it in half. Kentaro had now managed to give the kitsune a bit more life, and she bit one of the remaining Eton Momin, forcing it to let go. Seiki felt a jolt as a spindle struck his back. Realizing that he could not fight enemies on both sides at the same time, an idea flashed in his mind.
"I'll draw them away!"
he cried as he quickly took a jab at two of the Eton Momin, then kicked at another one. They fluttered angrily and came after him. Seiki turned and ran. Another spindle from the old lady missed him by an inch. Now that he was on the move again, he could better avoid her projectiles. He was not as fast as Myron in fox form, but he could occasionally swipe the Eton moment away as they got too close. White sparks surrounded him, filling up a decent portion of his missing life. He glanced and saw that Kentaro was almost out of energy. So was the white fox.
You can't outrun them, cried Kentaro. Use your area ability.
Seki blocked another attack from the closest Eton moment.
My what?
He doesn't have it yet,
Myron cried. She was suddenly back in human form.
You hinder them. I'll heal.
The old lady had been targeting Seki this whole time, but at this point she was starting to notice the other two. Seeing the old lady turning her attention away, Seki dived at her. He was still a few energy points short of a special move, yet he managed to land a hard roundhouse kick. Again, the impact sent chills down his limb.
Die!
The old lady was still screaming. One of her cloth arms caught his left leg. He felt his body getting heavier as his life dipped. Her other arm swept under him, knocking him to the ground. At the same time, an Eton moment dropped down around his shoulder, quickly tightening itself around his neck. He had been saving his focused strike for the old lady, but the situation forced it. In panic, he rolled on his back and used the special move on the Eton moment that was coiled around him, ripping it apart. At this moment, Kentaro's hinder came swirling around the old lady, slowing her movement and giving Seki 4 seconds of room to breathe. Old Lady of the Loom, level 6 elite, HP 42 of 180. Seki kicked away the spirit's cloth arms and struggled to his feet. He felt a different kind of heal, faster and more acute than Kentaro's, though slightly less potent. In 3 small bouts, his health was brought back up to more than half. He glanced above him. 2 Eton moments still remained. Eton moment, level 6, HP 83 of 112. Eton moment, level 6, HP 78 of 112. Seki's heart sank when he saw how much life they still had.
I'll get one of them,
shouted Myron. She dashed forward in fox form, leapt high, and snapped at the lower Eton moment. Seki had not been hitting it, so it went after her.
I'll get the last one. You deal with the old lady,
yelled Kentaro. His hinder hit the other Eton moment. It slowly wriggled in the air as it made its way toward the Hoshi. The old lady was showing one of the other tricks up her sleeve. Her cloth arms had grown very long, and she was lashing them at the ground where Seki was standing with such force that dust was exploding wherever they struck. As one arm hit the ground, the other swung in a wide loop, casting out spindles in every direction. Seki had just used his focused strike to kill one of the Eton moment, and it would be a while before his energy charged back up, so he was forced to do it the hard way. Heart pounding, he dodged her arms and ran around the loom. He had noticed that the old lady never moved from her place. As long as he was dodging from side to side, there was a split second between her lashing out on the left and right of the loom. One glance at his group informed him that Myron had managed to kill her Eton moment and was assisting Kentaro in dealing with his. Seki took his chance. Knowing that it was far better to take the spindles than her lashing cloth arms, he waited till she lashed down with her right arm. As soon as it hit the ground, Seki leapt up and landed on it with both feet, betting on this maneuver not causing him damage. He felt the impact, but no life drained. Phew! The old lady shrieked as she tried to lift up her arm, which was now trapped under Seki's weight. She twisted her body and swung her left arm across the loom. Seki had already started running up her arm, gritting his teeth as a hail of spindle shot out from her left and struck him across his right side. A single spindle wasn't enough to endanger his life, but when a dozen of them hit him at once, his HP quickly dropped below a third. 3 fast bouts of healing landed on him, followed by blur swirls around the old lady, giving Seki another precious 4 seconds. He jumped, connected with a forceful kick on her shoulder, and as he dropped to the ground, spun around and threw 2 successive punches at her. Old Lady of the Loom, level 6 elite, HP 1 of 180. The spirit was screaming in rage. Now that her right arm was free, she turned around and lashed the long strip of cloth at Seki. He knew that a direct hit right now would be lethal, so he rolled over the ground and took a sweeping kick at her leg. Chill shot up his leg as his attack connected. Old Lady of the Loom, level 6 elite, HP 1 of 180. No damage? Puzzled, Seki struck her with his knuckles. Again, nothing happened. Seki started to panic as he saw her cloth arm swishing in from both sides, raining spindles at him. Her hoarse cackle was deafening. Myron and Kentaro were yelling something, their heels barely keeping him alive against the volleys of spindles. Then he looked up and saw it. Haunted Loom, Level 6, Elite. HP 50 of 50. With the last of his strength, Seki lunged forward and connected his focused strike on the loom. The world was filled with an ear-splitting crack and a long scream. The old spirit spun around faster and faster, her arms high above her, waving in the violent upward wind, and she exploded into a cloud of gray dust. Seki's body was experiencing flashes of hot and cold sensations that he was not sure were health or damage. Then everything was deathly silent, except for the white healing sparks now filling up his health again. Old Lady of the Loom slain. 80 XP gained. Quest completed. Old Lady of the Loom. Level 6 Elite. Group. 80 XP gained. The abrupt silence felt deafening, although he could hear his heart beating against his ribs. Seki looked around. The old lady had vaporized, leaving only a broken old loom in the moonlight beside him. Seki heaved a sigh of relief. Maiden and Kentaro rushed to his side.
"That was crazy," said Kentaro as he helped Seki up.
Both him and Maiden seemed as shaken as he was.
"What was that all about?"
Kentaro wondered, giving out a soft whistle of relief, probably referring to the fact that the old lady had her health frozen at one point. Seki understood now. It was only when the old lady was that low in health that he could attack the real target, the loom. He was lucky that he had a focused strike ready then, as normal moves would have required more time than he had.
"I didn't expect you had to do something like this outside an instance," said Maiden. "Actually, if we had known, we could have hit the loom once it became attackable."
"Well, we never got this far in our last two attempts," Kentaro pointed out.
"We died in about 2 minutes," said Maiden.
"I couldn't have done it without the heals and slowing spell from you guys either," said Seki.
Thinking back to the fight, he was starting to piece together what happened. Kentaro had a hinder and a solid white sparks heal. Maiden had a spell that turned her into a fox, one smoky damage spell, and a three-step heal.
"That was some great play by you, Seki," said Maiden.
She was looking him in the eye, and suddenly Seki's cheeks felt hot. He was not used to direct compliments. His martial arts masters had always been the strict kind who would ever go as far as a slight smile on the corner of their lips when he performed well.
"Do you do this in real life or something?"
Maiden said, half musingly. Seki shrugged.
"Kind of."
Maiden burst out laughing. Seki was not sure if she thought he was joking.
"And to think you're playing with no armor."
"And no weapon," Kentaro added.
"And only one special ability,"
said Maiden, shaking her head.
"You're absolutely nuts."
From her tone, it was probably meant to be a compliment. Seki thought they were right and that he was probably not playing the game as it was intended. As he thought about it, he figured that a weapon would give him at least a bit of range, which would have been tremendously helpful in dealing with the old lady.
"Thanks," said Kentaro. "You were great. And I've got to say, you've got some wonderful tanking instincts as well. Makes life easier for me."
Seki made yet another mental note to ask them to explain later.
"All right, let's see what we've got."
The Hoshi got very excited as he bent down to touch the wreck that used to be the loom. It burst into black smoke. Group loot. Spirit essence. Ingredient. Group loot. Cotton ball. Times 16. Ingredient. Group loot. Spirit dagger. Damage 2.4. Speed 1.1. Range 0.3. Group loot. Spirit belt. Plus 18 defense. Group loot. Ancient thread. Times 3. Ingredient.
"Yes!" cried Kentaro happily.
He then looked at Seki.
"You're not planning to become a tailor, are you?"
"A what?" asked Seki.
"A tailor,"
said Maiden.
"It's one of the crafting skills you can pick up. There are loads of things like mining, blacksmithing, carpentry, medicine, and things like that, so you can make your own stuff or sell them for some gold."
Probably not," said Seki. He had never touched a needle in his life, and he was not sure he would be interested to do so in a virtual world. Kentaro whooped as he gathered the ingredients. "Kentaro has received spirit essence, cotton ball, times 16, ancient thread, times 3.
"You take the rest," said Maiden.
She picked up the dagger and handed it to Seki.
"I don't need it," said Seki.
He wondered what he would do with a dagger, considering that he had never used one in real life. Maiden grabbed his hand and put the dagger in it.
"Keep it. Daggers are hard to come by. You've got 3 belt slots. 2 of them hold weapons. One for your main weapon. The other one is for secondary weapons like daggers, knives, enchanted lamps, and things like that."
Okay, said Seki.
He He was not sure how enchanted lamps could work as a secondary weapon, but if he asked about everything he did not understand about this world, they would be there for hours. You have received Spirit Dagger. Damage 2.4. Speed 1.1. Range 0.3. The scabbard was all white and felt like painted wood. He unsheathed the dagger to look at it. The blade glistened silver in the moonlight.
And this too,
said Myrin, handing him the belt. Siki looked at it and hesitated.
You're not even wearing a belt,
insisted Myrin.
It'll be a huge stat boost for you.
It's sparkly, said Siki. Myrin giggled. I'm sure it would look really nice on you, Siki added hastily. He was not sure why he said it, but for some reason he really thought so. Myrin gave him an appreciative nod.
Ready, if you say so. Actually, this would be an upgrade for me.
Myrin has received Spirit Belt, plus 18 defense. She took off the one with plus 12 defense she was wearing and replaced it with her new acquisition. She spun around once, her light long skirt twirling about her ankles. The pearls on her hairpin sounded softly against one another.
You're right. It's kind of pretty,
she said. Want to see something prettier? Kentaro said, sounding extremely pleased. The Hoshi had been sitting on the ground ever since he got his loot, and Siki had not been paying attention to what he was doing. Now the man was sitting in the middle of a pile of cotton and fabric. Behold, the Hoshi cried, his voice ringing with pride. In his hands was a long cape, subtle blue in color, with silver linings on the bottom. He then gave it a little shake, and a wisp of smoke came out of it. Where did you get that? Siki asked. He concentrated on it to get the details. Blue spirit cape, plus 28 defense, plus 2% energy regeneration. Kentaro puffed out his chest. I made it. Just now? Siki was rather impressed. It had only been less than 5 minutes. Oh yeah, I've got all the ingredients and equipment on me, said Kentaro, still shaking the cape and admiring its misty effect. Myrin grinned.
He carries a sewing kit everywhere, so he's always running out of bag space.
Seeing that Siki was no nearer to understanding, Kentaro explained. Let's just say that all crafting skills are simplified. You just need to collect all the right ingredients, a misnomer by the way, and you do a few simple moves and voila. The Hoshi jumped up to his feet and immediately put his crafted cape on. Spirit essence is a pretty rare ingredient. Only this old loom lady drops it consistently, Myrin whispered to Seiki.
I bet he's going to get tired of it in 2 weeks.
Seiki tried concentrating on the cape again, seeing if he could get any more information. Blue spirit cape, plus 28 defense, plus 2% energy regeneration. Crafted gear, made by Kentaro. Required ingredients. Spirit essence, times 1. Silver thread, times 8. Cotton ball, times 40. Small pearls, times 4. Enchanted scroll, greater defense, times 1. Required skills, tailoring, level 5. Enchanting, level 4. He then realized there was this whole different side of gameplay that he never knew existed, and it sounded much more complicated than he had ever imagined. Those silver threads cost me a pretty penny, said Kentaro, as if he knew Siki was inspecting his new gear. Myrin laughed.
Kentaro spent all his gold on them, so he couldn't afford his third special ability yet.
I didn't know you needed money to learn new abilities, said Siki.
Not always, but you need cash for the third one for every class,
said Myrin.
Mine did, and I have to save up money to rescue my useless fox brother from some pet shop.
She then shot her three little heels at Siki, perhaps just to illustrate what ability she was talking about.
But sometimes it's a quest, and I've heard there are some secret techniques you get from treasure chests and rare monsters in dungeons.
Nice, said Seiki. With the amount of new knowledge he was getting, he was starting to think that perhaps this game would last him a lifetime after all, a thought both comforting and slightly worrying at the same time.
Any thoughts on which class you're going to choose?
Asked Myrin. Well, I like my focus strike, confessed Seiki. Again, he knew it sounded a bit silly, but it was the first special move he had ever learned, and he was growing rather attached to it. He presumed that everyone started out the same at Manji's house, and once they chose their classes, their first ability got modified accordingly. It would be a pity if he had to give up Focused Strike. Myrin thought for a moment.
I think Samurai and Ronin both keep their Focused Strike, but they do it with a sword somehow.
She mimicked the move, holding an imaginary sword in her hand. Then she told Seiki,
You'll do very well with a sword.
I hope so, he said, slightly regretting the fact that he never picked up kendo.
Mine became a kitsune dash, she said.
Then, in a puff of smoke, she turned into a white fox and shot forward very quickly before she started to run around Kentaro. Seki secretly took a peek. Kitsune dash. Transforms the user into a fox spirit, increasing running speed by 45%. The initial dash also deals moderate damage to all enemies within their path. Maiden turned back into human form in front of Kentaro.
Are you done admiring your cape yet? We haven't got all day, you know, and Seki has stuff to do.
That reminded Seki that it had been much longer than 10 minutes they had promised, and he wondered if it was too late. Kentaro got up.
Let me give you something.
Kentaro wants to trade. You have received cotton socks, +5 defense, inner feet slot. You have received cotton hand wraps, +5 defense, hand slot. You have received black yukata, +9 defense, outer body slot. You have received black obi, +4 defense, waist slot. Seki stared at the gifts.
Isn't this too much? He asked uneasily.
It's nothing at all, said Kentaro. These are just low-level tailoring items that I can make right now. We've got a surplus of cotton balls. Thanks, Seki said, suddenly acutely aware of how many empty slots he still had. He wondered if that was why fighting the old lady spirit had been so difficult. They slowly made their way back toward the road. By now, the sun was starting to creep up to the horizon, and the eastern sky was painted in the shade of blushing pink. Small birds could be heard chirping among the grass. Seki noticed on the way back that the Itan Momen were nowhere to be seen now that it was day, and the grassland was refreshingly beautiful. He could not help but sigh as he took a deep breath.
Follow this road and you'll reach Shinshioka in a little, said Myron
as they arrived at the dirt road where Seki had gotten off the horse cart earlier that night.
Are you sure you don't want us to come with you?
I could use a stroll right now, Seki said, to appreciate all this.
He gestured at the scenery. The first rays of the sun were already breaking through the low clouds and felt warm on his skin. It reminded him of places he had been before, when life was young and exciting and full of hope. Maiden and Kentaro whistled to their horses and waved goodbye as they rode away. Seki could see them take a turn in the distance down some other path, some other adventure. Once he was alone, he started his casual walk down the path. The air was light, the road empty, and he was filled with a strange sense of contentment. He realized he was actually looking forward to something. Shinshioka, with all its unknown promises, which, for the first time in a long while, gave him that familiar feeling of being awake and alive. Chapter 5. It was high noon in Shinshioka when Seki finally located the inn near the west gate. The streets around were so busy that at first, he did not notice the flag out front, which only had Japanese characters on. To Seki's surprise and delight, with a little extra attention, he could easily read it, in a way not dissimilar to getting information to appear in his head whenever he inspected other objects or people. The big red flag that read Ichikea Inn hung in front of a two-storied wooden building on a wide lane that led to the city's western gate. Seki had reached Shinshioka shortly after daybreak, and he had found it to be more than he ever expected. The city, a labyrinth of streets and lanes, was built on the foot of a small hill, and it was tightly packed with two-story buildings of all purposes. A lot of them were shops and stalls selling everything imaginable, from fans to carved wooden toys to food and weapons. Then there were buildings that appeared to be residences, and also walled properties that were manors and temples. Even when Seki made it his first priority to find the inn, it still took him quite a while to navigate the busy streets and find his bearings. Compared to the south gate, through which Seki had entered the city, the west gate was a spectacle. The metal-studded gate stood higher than the neighboring buildings and was painted red and black, with large golden characters proclaiming it Gate of the White Tiger. On two sides were towers heavily manned with city guards, watching over the steady stream of riders that went in and out. Ichikea Inn was located at a corner of the main street in a smaller alley, only a stone's throw from the west gate, making it a popular spot for people to lose themselves in the perpetual hustle and bustle. Seki noticed a few horses tied outside the inn. Beside them, Yumiko, level 17, in a pink kimono, was advertising her crafted, enchanted bags at a discount. As Seki was about to enter the inn, he heard shouts coming from behind him. In a cloud of dust, two men, Hisuke, level 6, and Naoto, level 7, were locked in a violent struggle on the ground. An enthusiastic crowd quickly gathered around them, cheering excitedly. Naoto suddenly vanished for a very brief moment and reappeared behind his opponent's back. Eisuke struck out with his short sword. Seiki guessed they were using special abilities. An arrow swished through the air from afar and struck Eisuke in the back, and he immediately collapsed. Seiki stared at the man's corpse. Eisuke, level 6, HP 0 of 105, lootable. Before Seiki could understand what had happened, another arrow flew. Naoto, level 7, HP 0 of 139, lootable. The crowd booed as a man in green and brown leather armor, Sezuo of the West Hills, level 19, appeared holding a longbow in his hand.
"Took care of these lowly pests," the man smirked.
Someone from the crowd leapt forward. Tadahiko of the Masterless Samurai Clan, level 21, rushed at the archer with his sword, yelling, "Now you're asking for trouble!" There was a smoke explosion as Ryose, level 16, also joined the fray. An excited yell came from the crowd. "Brawl!" More and more people started to rush in with brandished weapons. "I didn't know you could do that," Seiki muttered to himself as he took a few steps back. He heard laughter from beside him. At first he saw no one, then he looked down and noticed a tiny old lady standing next to him. Yubaba, level 4, dressed in a dark gray kimono, matching the gray of her hair, which was in a tidy bun and held together with a red pin.
"Oh, the busy city life," she said. "That's why I keep myself at level 4, you see."
She laughed again hoarsely. Seiki took a few more steps back as the chaos in front of him grew larger and larger in diameter, with whisking swords, staves, and multicolored explosions from several special abilities he did not recognize. He ducked as a wayward arrow came whizzing his way. One arrow went straight at Yubaba, but the old lady just chuckled as it passed straight through her body, doing no damage.
"Want to join the fun?"
Yubaba asked.
"You're level 6, so you can just jump in, get a few hits in, see if you can loot anybody."
Now that the old lady had mentioned it, Seiki realized that it was part of the reason why so many people entered the brawl. Wataru, level 10, was trying to sneak up to loot the two bodies, but he was struck by a stray shuriken and pulled into the frenzy. Seiki took note that Sezuo of the West Hills, level 19, and Chiaki, level 12, were also now dead on the ground.
"Hey, no need to look so serious,"
said Yubaba, noticing Seiki's slightly disturbed expression as he stared at the bodies that were now wantonly piling up.
"They will just wake up in the morgue."
Suddenly, someone yelled, "Patrols!" The crowd let out a collective cry of dismay, and then immediately dispersed in every direction like bees from a nest. Seiki had to stand aside, his back against one parked horse cart to avoid being trampled. Down the street, 5 or 6 city patrol, level 30, elite, in official uniform of jet black with red rims, could be seen galloping in on black horses. "Why run?" Seiki turned to ask Yubaba, who had decided to take refuge behind him.
"That city rules for you. You can attack other players, but you'd better not get caught by the city patrols."
"What happens if you do?"
"Nothing much, really. It's more a bother than anything. You get teleported straight to the city prison and have to spend half an hour there. Or your clanmates can bail you out."
The city officers were closing in. From horseback, the officers grabbed the fleeing crowd from behind, using an instant ability that caused them to fall onto the ground. Another officer waved his hand as if casting a spell, and their prisoners disappeared into thin air. Haru of the Red Dawn Clan, level 11, cursed at them as he was zapped away.
"Do we need to run?" asked Seiki, uncertain.
Prison did not sound very pleasant right now, especially after he had spent all that time looking for this inn. Yubaba cackled.
"As long as you didn't hit anybody, the patrols won't touch you. First time in the city, are you?"
She rooted around in her large cloth bag.
"Here.
Yubaba wants to trade. You have received basic healing potion. Restores up to 300 HP. Seiki was confused. "Why are you giving me this?" Considering that 300 HP was more than twice his total health, this seemed like a ridiculously expensive gift.
"Free sample," said Yubaba. "Remember, if you need potions in the future, come to me. I have batch discounts and special rates for long-term customers."
"Thank you, but I can't possibly accept this." Seiki tried to give it back to her, but she refused.
"Don't you understand the concept of free samples?"
she cried in annoyance. Seiki sighed. "Okay." He then thought of something. "How about you let me give you something in return?" He looked in his cloth pouch and found nothing of value, except perhaps the mysterious blood essence thing that he got from the Inoshishi quest, which he asked if she wanted. Yubaba shook her head and chuckled.
You're a funny lad, aren't you? Sell that at the market and get yourself a nice basic weapon. If you really want to give me something, get me 30 red thistles. That's what it took to make the potion.
All right, said Seiki. The old woman continued to chuckle in amusement.
Remember, come find Yubaba at the west gate if you need your potions.
She clapped Seiki on his arm, then walked away and started talking to Oni, level 5, who was standing around, no doubt giving out some more of her free products. Now that the show was over, everything slowly returned to normal and the people continued to go about their business. The sun was high in the cloudless sky, making everything look extra vibrant with colors. Seiki decided to finish his task before exploring more of the city. He stepped through the door into the cool, shaded interior of the Ichikeya Inn. Before him was a large room with wooden tables and long benches, half full with people in all kinds of attire with many a fancy weapon. He noticed a long staff with copper rings propped against the wall beside one table. On someone's back was a large ornate crossbow. Lively chatters and the enticing smell of food filled the air. At the back was a stairway that led up to the second floor. A nameless inmate approached him, one of the many in identical light green kimonos.
Young master, would you like a table?
Politely and efficiently, she led Seiki to one near the staircase.
Please feel free to order our dishes, tea and sake.
The inn was buzzing with conversation. Seiki sat down and scanned the room for someone called Mimura. Across the room, Yukiko, level 13, yawned. Her table mates, Haru, level 8, and Yuta, level 10, were drinking tea and poring over some parchment. At another table, Ashiga of the Red Dawn clan, level 18, was sitting alone, staring at the door. Three people who had been eating nearest to the door, all from Ishibashi clan, got up and left. Two more visitors arrived, Goro, level 4, and Kenichi of the West Hills, level 6. Someone was complaining loudly about how expensive it was to have armor repaired, and a man's voice yelled out for more sake. There was no sign of the person he was looking for, and suddenly Seiki realized he had no idea where to begin. He had expected to find Mimura, level 20, there waiting for him once he found the inn. It turned out this task was not as simple as he thought. A girl approached him, and he recognized the light green kimono of the inmaids.
Welcome, young master. Is this your first time at Ichikeya? Can I get you anything?
Seiki looked around. Is this the only inn around the west gate? He asked. The inmaid smiled.
Yes, it is. In fact, it is the only inn in West City.
It was then that Seiki noticed that she had a name. Fuyu of Ichikeya, level 15. Surprised, he looked again at her uniform, which was exactly what the other nameless maids were wearing, a green simple kimono and a yellow flower-patterned obi. Seeing his puzzlement, she winked at him, in a way that Seiki thought he was supposed to understand. Do you happen to know where I can find someone called Mimura? Seiki thought he saw recognition in her eyes when he spoke the name, but she just asked politely,
Young master, perhaps you would like to order something? I'd recommend our freshly made dango and freshly brewed matcha.
Seiki tried to explain. I've got to find Mimura. Fuyu interrupted him.
Young master, I'd really recommend our dango and matcha,
she said as forcefully as could possibly be said through a smile. Then she gave him another look, which was again probably meant to be understood, but which ended up confusing Seiki even more. All right, dango and matcha it is, he gave in. Fuyu looked relieved and soon brought him a plate with three skewers of dango, green, pink, and white, and a bowl of matcha. Seiki was about to ask whether she knew where he could get the information he needed when she gave him another look, one that he understood this time, which meant to stop asking questions. Unable to interpret her mysterious signals, Seiki sighed and decided to just wait and see. The gooey flower dessert was surprisingly pleasant, despite being very sweet, and it made for a wonderful combination with the bitter matcha. Still, Seiki could not help but feel there was something slightly amiss about the whole experience that he could not quite yet put a finger on. He finally attributed it to the lack of any real physical satiation that one could expect from eating. Seiki glanced around again. The table creaked as someone sat down opposite him. Seiki turned and looked, half expecting to see Mimura. It was not Mimura, but Hatsuo, level 22. A large man with short hair and a rugged, bearded face. He had on a loose brown yukata and wore a thin red and white headband across his forehead. The man's menacing expression immediately put Seiki on his guard.
So, Seiki, is it? Said the man.
His voice was rough. He had put one arm on the table, his hand clenched in a tight fist. From his fighting experience, Seiki was immune to empty threats, and it would take much more to intimidate him. He defiantly met the man's eyes.
Yes? What are you doing here?
Cage had not asked him to keep the arrangement a secret, but Seiki knew how to tell when someone was simply looking for trouble, and he felt no obligation to give that Hatsuo any information.
That is my business, he said. Who sent you?
Out of the blue, the inmate Fuyu rushed to the table side.
Oh, it's you, Hatsuo-san, she exclaimed. Can I get you anything?
Go away, Fuyu, said Hatsuo.
Fuyu rolled her eyes.
Hatsuo-san, no need to be so cold. Do you know this young master over here?
Fuyu's voice darkened as she whispered,
Hatsuo-san, seriously, no trouble in my shop.
Then she looked at Seiki and said brightly,
Young master, perhaps you would like some more tea?
Before Seiki could reply, a pigeon fluttered in and landed unceremoniously on the table. Hatsuo grabbed it and untied a small rolled-up paper note from its leg. After finishing reading it, he looked Seiki up and down once more, then stood up. Fuyu seemed relieved as she quickly threw herself on the man's arm and said,
Hatsuo-san, there's a free table over there. I'll get you some tea.
I'm leaving, said Hatsuo.
He glared at Seiki, shook Fuyu off his arm, and strode out without another word. Fuyu looked at Seiki, a pleasant expression still on her lips.
Our sincerest apologies for that, young master.
Call me Seiki, please, said Seiki. This whole young master thing was starting to get on his nerves. He could see Hatsuo exit the inn and turn to the left, walking off in huge strides.
I have no idea what he wants,
said Fuyu, shaking her head. Then, with a childish demeanor, she bent down, put her elbows on the table, and propped her chin up with her hands. Her large, round eyes stared at him with interest.
What do you want, Seiki-san?
Seiki was puzzled.
I just need to find someone called Mimura.
Fuyu pursed her lips as she thought about it, with her eyes glancing toward the ceiling and a finger tapping on her lips.
I've never heard of anyone called Mimura.
I thought you did because you were...
Seiki trailed off as her expression of puzzlement did not change. It was starting to make him feel that he had misread her in the beginning. He changed his mind.
Are you here all the time? Do you know all the guests?
Fuyu nodded.
Do you know where I can look for a person?
Maybe the Bureau of Records, said Fuyu. They have information on everything, but mostly it is just about which clan is the most powerful at the moment.
Seiki sighed and got up.
I'll go check other places then, but I'll be back in a bit. If you see someone called Mimura, could you please let him know that I'm looking for him?
A very brief, impenetrable look flashed on Fuyu's face, and her countenance changed.
Ah, Seiki-san, leaving so soon?
She seemed more adult in an instant. Then she added softly,
The view is very nice from the second floor. Wouldn't you like to see it?
Maybe some other time, said Seiki, not sure what she meant.
Fuyu reached out her hand to snatch his yukata sleeve.
I'm sure you'd love to see it, she insisted.
Fuyu invites you to a group. Seiki looked at her in surprise, but was only met with the same polite smile. He accepted. You are now in a group with Fuyu, level 15.
Follow me,
she said. After telling him to take off his shoes at the shoe rack by the wall, she led him up the wooden stairs. As soon as his foot touched the first step, Seiki gave a start as something flashed in his mind. You have entered the Ichikeya private territory. Custom combat rules apply. PvP status enabled.
What is it, Seiki-san?
Asked Fuyu innocently.
Is something bothering you?
Seiki did not know what to think and simply shook his head. Whatever it was, he was in it now. They continued up the stairs. The second floor had a long corridor in the middle, with sliding paper doors on both sides dividing the space into different rooms. At the end of the corridor, one door was left slightly open. Fuyu nodded at him to go in. Seiki slid open the door and found that it was a spacious room with large windows. In the middle of the room, a cleanly shaven man who seemed to be in his 30s was sitting on a dark red cushion on the tatami floor. Mimura of Ichikeya, level 21. He was dressed in a simple white kimono and a dark blue hakama. A long sword in its dark blue sheath lay on the floor beside him. The man had clearly been expecting him.
Come in, Seiki-san,
he said pleasantly, gesturing to another cushion opposite him.
Please, have a seat.
The man spoke in a calm, controlled manner,